Brum, 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 brum.
There was once brum, a show called brum, brum, Trains. Brum, it broadcast brum, on Sunday brum, afternoons. It brum, played lots of brum, music, had brum, lots of fun. Brum, from 2:30 back brum, to 12, it brum, brum. That was all.
The Robert Keevy
Show! I don't think a mic's on.
2:30 back to 12. Firstly, we start at 12:30 and finish at 2.
Well, 2:30
till 12. I like that time.
I disagree with the linear nature of time.
Well, but still, even at 2:30 till 12, it's 2.5 hours, which I don't think anyone could suffer through.
I seem to have...
I feel we should do 2:30 as in like 2:30 in the morning till 12 midnight.
Really?
I think that should be our new
spot. All right, okay, I made a mistake. Right. But can we just move on?
Yeah, I'm glad to say I had nothing to do with that jingle.
What was that song you just played, Rob?
That was the Get Up Kids with Holiday. First track from Something to Write Home About, which Vagrant has just released their 10th anniversary edition of, with a very bonus nice DVD, and it's very nice. And you
should buy it. I love bonus DVDs. Yeah. I recently bought the latest Cribs album, and... And when you buy, I bought it back home, which is Barnsley. And when you buy it in Barnsley, it's the exclusive North edition with it comes with a free DVD and an extra song. And this edition only is available to buy in Yorkshire and Portland, Oregon.
What? I don't agree with that. That's promoting the North South divide.
Exactly. So it should be.
No. Portland, because that's where Johnny Marr's from. Actually, that's where a lot of the Cribs live now, isn't it?
That's where they all live now, I think, yeah.
Anyway, we've run out of random ramblings to put on a song.
Right, the song I'm going to play is pretty awesome.
It's a classic.
It is. It's Suffragette City by, Ziggy Stardust, should I say?
Yeah, maybe, so. If you buy into that. And if the play button works, which is...
We're on.
Thank God. We'll be right back. to come back to Tin Trains.
Yeah, that was Ziggy Stardust or David Bowie, whoever you feel.
Anyway,
be responsible. But yeah,
Tin Trains, get on board with the bands on the move, new and old, for a one-way ticket to the next musical platform. And now it's time.
Was that a train?
No, it's time for one of our favourite new features called.
Oh, it's Breakfast Banter. Feature. It's how are we feeling about it? We've had it twice now.
I feel quite good about it. You know, it fills up time, which is good.
Don't say that. Don't put us down.
So today we went to Patisserie Des Amis on Judd Street.
Des Amis, not Des Amis.
Patisserie Des Amis.
Yes. So
we are very close to Seoul.
Ollie's choice. You are the Des Amis from the patisserie.
Well, no, we needed a place relatively close, didn't we?
Yeah, but there are closer places.
Yeah.
So, all right, what did you think of it?
Well, you go first.
Well, I like it. It's probably not somewhere I go and have breakfast, but it does quite a nice cup of coffee, nice sandwiches, quite good cakes.
And therein lies my problem. Not a place you go for breakfast at all.
Oh. A place I might go for, I don't know, maybe a mid-afternoon croissant.
Yeah, they do very good pain au chocolat, very good tea,
mm.
but, you know, nothing breakfasty.
It's
as
not
far
a
as I'm
specialised
concerned.
Breakfast.
All right,
there.
So it, no it's not that it wasn't good, it just wasn't too brief, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I did feel it had a very good atmosphere. I love the atmosphere in there with the classical Radio 3.
Alex James on Classic FM.
Alex Von James. No,
from Blur.
But yeah, they had a good selection of papers. Well, they had the Daily Mail and the Independent, which I thought was a bit weird.
If they had such a good selection, why did you buy your own then?
Because I hate both those papers.
Well, then why'd you say it was a good selection?
Because I thought it showed both spectrums of the newspaper world.
All right. And in terms of spoon rating, are we still doing that?
Yes, we are. And they do a good tea, which is deserving of a spoon, and they do a good pan of chocolate, which is deserving of a spoon. So two spoons. And if it was for lunch, I'd give it more like four. But for breakfast, two. All right.
I'm going to be a little more generous with my spoons. And, I thought the sandwich, the baguette, the chicken, cranberry and bacon
turkey,
baguette.
Turkey, perhaps.
Is it turkey?
Maybe it was chicken.
No, I think it was chicken. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was one of the best baguettes I've ever had. Wow, Ollie, that was close. Mm. And, but my one fuss is the fact, the classic serviette, napkin, under the food, on top of the plate. Why would you do that? For that reason... Three tablespoons.
Well, again, as you say, it wasn't strictly to brief, but it had an excellent coffee, and so I would give it 3.5 spoons. That was Breakfast Banter. Oh, perfectly timed! That was so professional!
Alright, guys, chill out.
Sorry.
So now what? It's your song, Ollie.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, I was going to play something.
Stool
but,
pigeon.
Oh, all right, fine. Stool pigeon.
Well, it's your choice.
Yeah, no, I know. I just wasn't sure that was what I was going to pull
stool
up first,
pigeon.
And we didn't have a very satisfactory link, did we? Quick, let's think of one. Oh, wait. If you can think of a suitable link for this song, email it at studio@rarefm.co.uk, text RARE and your message to 60300, or leave a message on the website at www.rarefm.co.uk. And remember, good radio is rare.
No, it's Rare FM, where good radio is rare.
It
completely changes the meaning.
Yes.
Anyway, now introduce your god darn song.
Stool Pigeon.
Bye.
Oh, I can't remember, but it's great.
Right then.
can make a deal, make it worth your while. So he told it all, and in return he got a credit card and a Thunderbird and the maximum security, even after plastic surgery. So go on and squeal, said the FBI, we can make a deal, make it worth your while. There's a gentleman that's going round, turning the joint upside down. He caught the mug who did the forgery and a babe in charge of larceny. So the FBI, they rewarded him because they like a guy who will stab a friend.
Stool Pigeon, Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
Well done, you actually know who
Stool
it is.
Stool Pigeon!
Anyway, let's not re-sing the song. Yesterday was Monday. Second time
Monday.
This week. Which is when, basically, we have a really lazy and disgusting day at all men.
Which I try to avoid, frankly.
Well, you did manage to avoid yesterday in preference to what you preferred... You decided to watch Strictly Come Dancing, which is about the least manly thing
ever. Later on. Now I'd like to contradict you.
We already did this last time you were on the air, and I'm never going to back down about Strictly Come Dancing or Farmville.
How dare you?
I have my vices with both of you.
How very dare you?
Anyway, Monday. In past, we've done the extended versions of Lord of the Rings all in one day. Then we did all six episodes of Star Wars. And then yesterday, we did all 10 episodes of Band of Brothers. Which was pretty good, I thought.
It was. Very emotional.
But, well, we lost most of the emotion because we talked all through it and just watched the action, basically. I think I learnt about three of the characters' names by the end of 10 hours.
Winters, Malarkey, Spears.
Malarkey?
Ball?
Yeah. Ball? Ball? I don't know. There's one called Toy.
Toy,
he lost his leg.
Shifty Powers.
Shifty Powers, yeah, I remember. Okay, it's all coming back.
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea, yeah. You obviously took in a lot more than I did. It was good, though, and you can tell that the budget was huge. Do you know about it, Ollie?
Band of Brothers?
Yeah.
I know that it's a World War
II
television series.
They spent $12 million per episode, made by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. Yeah. Almost like Saving Private Ryan, the TV series. And it's really good, and I recommend it to anyone.
Yeah,
and I'm going to watch it again so I can take it in properly. And then we watch Zombieland again. Just becoming like a weekly thing for me.
I love Zombieland. It's brilliant. Even though I slept through a good half hour of it.
What, did you miss Bill Murray?
No, I watched Bill Murray.
Okay, that's good. Bill Murray's the best bit. Yeah, that's pretty much all there is to say about Monday. Next time you should come, if you're a man. If you're not a man, you can't come.
If you are a man, or indeed if you are a woman, then email in at studio@rarefm.co.uk or text around your message to 60300 or leave a message at the web...
At the wet rare.
At the website.
Website.
At rarefm.co.uk.
So how come you didn't come yesterday, Ollie?
Yeah, what were you doing?
Well, I was essaying.
Having a wank.
I was essaying, writing, crafting, really, in essay. Then I went to Marylebone. Just had a bit of a wander.
Oh, what do you do in Marylebone?
Popped into the smaller Conrad shop. Went to the monocle shop.
Monocle shop?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a purveyor of monocles. It's a magazine, which is, frankly, a bit poncy, but it's nice to sort of... It's very well presented publication. I think I can recommend it.
Okay, anyway.
It's got a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Back to Mandy. It was a war epic, and you could say we declared a war on war, could you not, DeSalle?
That seems
I think, yeah, we did.
And so in that
we
case...
We merry band of brothers. There just happens to
be a perfect song for when
we,
you declare
we happy it. Few, we happy few.
Shut up.
No, wait. Oh, no, what's
Henry V.
Henry V.
Anyway, War on War by Wilco. War on War.
It's time for the next of our features, isn't it? I think
it is. If DeSalle turns up the right thing,
there we go.
Would you like to introduce it?
Well, I actually, it'll be self-evident, won't it, after the jingle.
Dream analysis with
DeSalle, I believe we have a dream from a certain, is it
John Bell?
John Bell,
regular
well,
listener,
UCL student. It. Give us it.
Okay, it's quite a long one, so
ooh,
you know.
Okay.
Packed down for the
notes.
Long haul. Okay. I go to some tutorial class and there's no one there except this tutor who looks a bit like Alan Rickman, but without the crooked nose. And then he slowly approaches me, and when he gets about 2.5 feet away, he throws those massive iron scissors that used to be in the art room at school at my head, but missed. Okay? He legs it down the stairs and then into a museum that's full of old farm equipment, kind of traditional plows and stuff, and he's always about 25 meters behind. That's Alan Rickman. But I'm getting away slowly. And just when he's out of sight, there's an exit from the museum, which I go through and opens up into a big green space, and I could easily get away, but I hesitate, and ultimately end up going into the special exhibition over the road to try and hide. Double bluff kind of thing. Inside, it's dark and a dead end, so I stand in the middle of the room, and eventually I'm followed by the tutor, who again slowly approaches and again throws the scissors at my head, again misses, and then I throw them back at his leg. I miss. Then he misses. Then I throw them again at his leg, and this time pierce his leg, and they stick, and the liquid starts spurting out, and he is left like a deflated balloon. No words are exchanged in this dream.
Wow. Okay, wow, yeah. So, first thing I'm going to say is he walks into the M2 toilet room. There before him is Alan Rickman. Well, I think we can all say... Well, my biggest relation with Alan Rickman would be Harry Potter.
Severus Snape.
So I'm feeling this Severus Snape character.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Oh, what? Sheriff of Nottingham? Mm. No, I'm getting Severus Snape. Okay. But Severus Snape. And Severus Snape, you know, he is the dark one within us all, but, you know, he's also got a good grain to it. He's got a little...
Always knew he was a legend.
He's got that golden thread of goodness running through him, but... I think in this dream, he definitely reflects the sort of fears, the sort of anguishes that, oh, this man's evil. He represents evil in John's mind. John is basically Harry Potter, and Rickus is Severus Snape. And they're running. He's running away from the evil. He's trying to run away from the evil within him. John is trying to run away from the evil within him. And, you know, these scissors are thrown. These scissors and, you know, Rickus. Trying to... What would you say they represent?
I was just questioning what you thought they did.
I think the scissors represent...
I'd question they were made out of iron, actually. Wouldn't they be made out of steel?
Maybe. It's hard to recognise when you're in a chase moment, you know. Mm. You don't sit there and think, hey, are those made out of steel or iron?
I think they represent the constant temptation towards evil. You know, he's dodging this temptation, though.
The museum?
The museum... Full of agriculture equipment and stuff. Well, agriculture represents the labours of past. And I feel John is trying to dodge these labours, but also trying to dodge evil. He's being a bit lazy. You should, you know, you've got to realise you do occasionally need to hulk down and you do need to do some work. You know, you can't get through life being lazy because otherwise evil will get you. But luckily for John... You know, this is a dream. He managed to get one back on evil and destroy the evil within him by deflating Severus Snape.
Oh, wow. Well done, John.
Bit of a weirdo.
Is that all you have to say on the matter?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Dream analysis with DeSalle. Can I just say that was deeply weird? I think his brains must turn to pickled walnuts at night.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
But in response to that dream analysis, I'm going to play a bit of a tune by Broken Social Scene. This is IB Dreams of Pavement, brackets A Better Day.
If you can get it to play.
If the button works. Push it.
Push it.
Push it good.
Oh,
push, yay. Go.
We'll be right back.
That was Ivy Dreams of Pavement by Broken Social Scene.
Indeed.
You're listening to Tin Trains. Well, someone's listening from here. No?
who is that person?
No, we've got a few people. That's all I'm saying. So, guys, the final Heath Ledger film is out.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Which also happens to be the new Terry Gilliam film. And hopefully we're going to go see it after the show today.
I think that's the plan.
And we were discussing it earlier, and we came onto the subject of Lily Cole.
Lily Cole, the noted model and actress. Lily Cole. Is rather taken.
And what subject is it? History? I think history probably. Of art, probably. She's at King's College, Cambridge. What a talented, all-rounded girl.
Well,
I don't think she's very attractive.
Interesting. I was just saying she has a sort of ethereal quality that DeSalle seems to respond to.
This is the thing. I don't think she's necessarily, you know, she's not what you typically think of as attractive. And I definitely wouldn't say she's hot. But I don't know. I'm deeply attracted to her. There's something about her. It's that weirdness about her.
Sort of wide,
it just draws me in.
Cat-like eyes, rosebud mouth, slightly strange.
Okay, I've got a semi right now.
Okay, right.
Well, email in if you think Lily Cole is attractive or unattractive.
Oh, she's certainly not unattractive, is she?
I find her kind of unattractive.
Well, anyway, you've set me quite a task to lead into this next track.
Lily Cole? Lily Cole. How are you going to link
How this? Am I going to link Lily Cole with a song featured in a recent film adaptation of a Noel Coward play, you may ask? And I would say, well, I would reply, Lily Cole co-starred, had a supporting role in St. Trinian's, the remake, in which Colin Firth appeared, who starred in Easy Virtue, said film adaptation of said Noel Coward play. And this is Car Wash, which they've done something quite clever with it, really.
And that was possibly quite the most tortured link ever, but we got there.
We did.
And this is Car Wash.
Car Wash. Can't beat the ukulele, can you?
Can't beat those pots and pans in there.
I know, yeah.
I think they would.
That classic bit of clarinet in the middle as well. Just got me.
Anyway, this week we went to see the new Pixar film, Up. Well, that's all that I did. Ollie bailed, as always. what did you think of it, DeSalle?
I really appreciate it. It was by the same director as Wally, and I think you could tell. It was the same sort of heartwarming, life-affirming tale.
Sorry, the studio has just begun to shake. I think we'd probably best investigate this.
No, I think it's just a behemoth going past the road outside, like a crane.
No, but I loved it. It was It was very, very emotional. It was definitely...
Well, the first montage was, but then after that, I thought it kind of just got, you know, normal.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was amazing. I thought it was quite good.
It definitely wasn't as good as Wall-E. Wall-E is... I
don't know if it even makes the top five Pixar films for me.
For me, I think it probably makes the top five. I think my top is Toy Story 2.
Yeah, Toy Story 2.
Wall-E.
Incredibles. Not Incredibles. I think...
Finding
Nemo and Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah. No. But it was a very nice film. It was nice sort of thing.
We watched it in 3D, and I thought the 3D was the total waste of time.
Oh, the 3D added nothing to it, I don't think. There was possibly, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes of 3D actually in the entire film. Like, yeah.
But at least we got to keep some cool glasses.
Yeah. This vibration is slightly worrying.
Someone's surfacing the road outside. Well, I imagine a team of men.
Well, that's good for them. And also, the main character, Carl Fredrickson, I think his name was, he has a square face. Like, and his chin was completely flat and right-angled on the sides. And it just... Oh, I couldn't deal with it. I know it's a cartoon, and they can have...
It was incredibly Disney.
And since it was 3D, I just wanted to reach out and grab his face and crush it together into some kind of V-shaped chin. God, I couldn't deal with it. The square face... No square faces for me.
What I was disappointed in, there wasn't, like, one of Pixar's usual, like, features at the beginning. I was saddened. Features? You know how Pixar usually, when you go see it at the cinema, or they usually have like a little 2 minute of a feature before the film.
Oh, not always.
Oh, a couple of the ones I've seen, they do. Wall-E did when I was sorry at the cinema. Oh,
I didn't see it at the cinema.
But yeah.
Okay. So. Anyway, Up is a story about balloons. If you don't know, Up is a story about an old man who ties a whole load of balloons to his house and flies away, or floats away, I should say. And to South America, and it's been a balloon infested week, and we'll talk about more about balloons after this next song, which happens to be called Balloons by Foles, and see you on the other side. by Foles.
So you're saying this has been a balloon-based week?
Yeah, I almost thought we should rename the show Boron Balloons for one week.
I don't understand the boron. No,
because there's another element. Tin is an element, boron's an element.
Oh, how about beryllium balloons?
Yeah, ooh. That sounds more like brilliant balloons, which is actually quite
good. Beryllium... Oh, you can have beryllium clocks?
Who cares? Balloons. Firstly, let's go with the balloon boy in America. Yeah. His name was Falcon. How cool is that for a name?
Falcon Balloon.
Did you hear about Balloon Boy, either of you?
No.
I did, but I only heard a little bit. Why didn't you enlighten me?
Basically, there was a huge story in the US that a balloon had been set free and was like a runaway balloon almost. It was almost like a car chase. You know how they show car chases on the news?
It wasn't just any normal balloon. It was like a full-on proper big... like weather balloons.
And basically it was like set free in the sky, and they thought that this boy Falcon was stuck in the basket and he didn't know how to control it and didn't know how to get down, so they were trying to catch him for like 2 hours, and then eventually when the balloon crashed to the ground, they thought he was going to be inside and all hurt and whatever, and it turned out he was hiding in the attic the whole time, and everyone was pretty outraged by it because
apparently they're thinking it's a bit of a scandal, a publicity stunt. Yeah.
Because his parents were kind of famous from Wife Swap, and they thought maybe they wanted to get back on TV.
I can't stand Wife Swap. Yeah, it's one of the most depressing shows I've ever
Anyone
seen.
Anyone who watches Wife Swap,
right up there with Strictly Come Dancing. And anyway. What do you think about Balloon Boy? Do you think he just... everyone thought...
It's a complete misnomer. He's clearly not a balloon boy. He wasn't in the bloody balloon.
But he set off the balloon, supposedly. He's Balloon Boy. And
apparently, yeah, he was angry with his dad at some point. His dad had told him off.
And rightly so, the young tyke.
Yeah, but how cool is the name Falcon?
Falcon Balloon Boy.
I wish I was called Falcon.
Calling Balloon Boy.
Anyway, the other balloon-related story happened yesterday on the football pitch. Sunderland versus Liverpool.
Indeed, that was it was pretty impressive.
Liverpool away fans cheering away, thinking they're going to smash Sunderland, thinking they're the best. One of them hits a balloon / beach ball onto the pitch, and for some reason Claudio Reyna doesn't decide to clear it off the pitch. He just lets it sit there on the edge of his 6-yard box.
Oh, Reyna. He was a bit busy, though. He had his eye on the ball at the time.
Maybe. Then Sunderland come down the wing on the attack. They cross it in. Darren Bent shoots. And what would you know? It hits the balloon, deflects into the goal, and
poor old Reyna. He had his eyes fixed on this balloon, and he was watching the balloon.
As soon as it hit the balloon, he accidentally watched the balloon go wide instead of watching the ball go in. It was quite funny, actually.
Well, but sure. I mean, in my limited knowledge of football, if there's external interference, how can that count as
a goal? Well, the referee counted it, even though
so presumably, even if the balloon wasn't there, it would have still been going in.
I think Reyna would have saved it.
Maybe, yeah.
But it shouldn't have counted by the letter of the law, but the referee didn't know that rule. Because, I mean, how often does that happen? So he counted the goal.
Whatever happens in the match, whatever the referee says.
Sunderland happened to end up winning 1-0, which was good, I think.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the balloon-related week. Over.
Two events, both balloon-related, yes.
And up three. See, three. How often do you get three balloon-related links in a week?
Insane.
Anyway, you can see that balloons, we're running out of stuff. We're being pretty lazy this Sunday, wouldn't you say?
I think we've really not covered enough. I admit I've been lazy, and I think everyone should be lazy on a Sunday. And for that reason, I'm playing Lazy Sunday by The Small Faces.
Classic.
Wouldn't it be nice to get on with me neighbours? They make it very clear they've got no room for ravers. They stop me from grooving, they bang on the wall. They're doing me thrusting, it's no good at all. Lazy Sunday afternoon, I've got no mind to worry. I close my eyes and drift away. Lumbago. That's incredible. I'll sing you a song.
and no one can stop me from feeling this way, yeah. Crazy Sunday afternoon, I've got no mind to worry. Close my eyes and drift away.
Bird song.
Really, yeah. Nice Sunday ending with the church bells and
some
the birds.
Church
song.
Bells.
You know, I'm not much of an ornithologist, but I kind of want to be, because I'm sure birds are really interesting.
I do too.
At
the same time,
it's kind of a sad thing to be.
On my weekly trip to Scoob Books last week, on the free book section, there was a book called A Bad Bird Watcher's Guide, which is brilliant. I started reading it.
Yeah. I love the free bookshelf at Scoob.
Yeah,
there was the biography of the woman who played Uhura in the 1960s Star Trek. There was a Guide to Wine, wasn't there?
No, it was a French Guide to Wine. No, it's like a wine growing regions in France, and we made a vow that we were gonna do a road trip.
Oh, we were gonna road trip.
Yeah, it was never gonna happen, so I threw it away.
Oh, God, I despise you, like.
Because it was just a dream, and I
you thought you'd just dispose of the dream.
Yeah, it was a waste of dream.
How dare you?
Anyway,
any
ornithologists out there, can you tell us, can birds cry?
Oh, now hang on, that's a link, isn't it? Because my next tune is about a certain bird having a bit of a weep.
Ende der Sicht.
And that certainly wasn't it. I don't know what that was. But yes, it's When Doves Cry by Prince, with quite a smashing opening, I always think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, play it then.
Well, you've got the bells and whistles, you sort it out.
All right, When Doves Cry by Prince. My father.
When Doves Cry
by Prince. And we didn't get any responses.
When Doves Cry.
Can doves cry?
No, they clearly
can't. No, they can't.
Have they not got tear ducts?
Actually, I don't
know. I can't imagine a bird crying.
It saddens me to think of a bird crying.
Okay. I have to apologise. I called him Claudio Reyna when I actually meant Pepe Reyna. They're obviously two.
Oh, Claudio Reyna is somewhere else, isn't he?
Yeah. Completely different footballers.
That can go on our errata post on the Facebook group.
Errata?
Do we send out an errata every week? Or something?
No. It's just a board that we can contribute to with all our guffs.
We could do that, but I don't think we're going to do that. Anyway, last week we introduced a new thing where we have a first listen to a new song by a popular band. Last week we did Vampire Weekend with Horchata. And we got quite a few interesting responses. So this week I thought we'd try it again with the new song from Death Cab for Cutie. It's called Meet Me on the Equinox, and it's from the Twilight soundtrack.
Ooh.
Twilight New Moon, I should say.
Awesome soundtrack.
Yeah, really good soundtrack.
Even make me go watch a film. I doubt it.
What are you talking about?
Ollie's really excited for it.
I am psyched.
I didn't mind, actually, the first Twilight. I did see it.
I haven't seen it.
But I wouldn't ever go see it in cinema.
Not even for Kristen Stewart.
Who's Kristen Stewart?
Kristen Stewart, isn't she the girl/woman?
Who knows? Anyway, this is Death Cab for Cutie with Meet Me on the Equinox. And let us
email in.
Oh, don't. No one's listening to Sal, are they? For God's sake.
Basically, we're all going to listen to this and let's comment on it. And you comment as well. And
there's no one out
email
there.
Email in. Text in.
This is Death Cab.
Meet me on the equinox. Meet me halfway. The sun is perched at its highest peak in the middle of the day. Let me give my love to you. Let me take your hand. Meet me on your best behavior.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Meet me on the equinox, or equinox, as they say. What is the equinox? Is that when the midday, basically?
Yeah, I guess so.
When the sun's highest in the sky.
We really should know this.
Yeah.
The equinox. There's ashamed. Like a winter equinox and
no,
the summer.
No, that's solstice.
No, no, there's an equinox as well.
Oh, gosh. We're embarrassing ourselves.
Equinoxes are between the solstices.
Well.
It's when the day lengths are equal.
What did you think of the song?
I quite liked it. It was quite emo-esque.
I didn't really like it, to be honest. I love Death Cab, but
they'd gone quite emo, I feel.
No, I like when they go emo, they do good. I thought that was rubbish. I thought the lyrics were stale. I thought the drumming was really good, and there's a kind of a breakdown in the middle that was quite good, but the lyrics were horrible.
What, too repetitive, too just...
Just too trite, you know?
Interesting.
And I'm surprised that, I mean, it's all right for a contribution to a soundtrack, but to release it as a single on top of that, not a good decision in my books. And hope it doesn't make it onto the next album, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think any of these tracks, I don't think it'll make it onto.
Yeah, there's lots of other good stuff on the soundtrack, though. There's Tom York's new song.
I don't understand how Twilight has got this soundtrack.
I believe it's the author is a fan of all this music. How
have they managed to convince these artists?
Tom York, St. Vincent, Bon Iver, Grizzly Bear, you know, the list goes on. But still.
Well, no, that track left me... I had negative feelings towards it, I don't feel quite as negatively towards Death Cab as I do towards this. And we've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again because I hate it. This stupid, garish nonsense on the wall in front of us on the studio.
It's a mural that someone did mid-last year, which meant the studio had to be shut down for weeks so they could paint
it. It was supposedly to improve the studio. It now feels hemmed in with
I really don't know anyone who really likes it.
No one likes it. I suggest we should paint this monstrosity over.
Well, that's pretty strong feelings.
And I don't care if either Zoe or Will are listening. I want to make my feelings perfectly clear. I don't like it. It shouldn't have been done.
Wow.
Wow.
That was a really old granny voice you just did there.
I don't like it!
I don't like it!
All right, Desal, what's your next track?
Well, we're just talking about Twilight, and what's his name? Cedric Diggory. Who's the actor again?
I believe it's Robert Pattinson.
Mr. Robert Pattinson has become...
Pattinson?
I think it's Pattinson. Robert Pattinson. He's become somewhat of a culture icon, and the next song I'm going to play is by The Thermals, and it's No Culture Icons.
Hardly art, hardly starving.
Yeah.
That was The Thermals with No Culture Icons.
I'd like to apologise for my outburst earlier. I think it's because I haven't been relaxing, and I relax best in the bath, and I only have a shower.
Did you ever put the stool in the shower like I told you to and sit there?
I do. I haven't done it for a while.
I have never done that. I need to do that.
No, because I went to Ollie's place and I saw a stool next to the shower, and I thought naturally that's what it was there for, but apparently he'd never connected.
This is really how we should have led him from Stool Pigeon. I was struggling for a link all day. That was it right there.
Have you ever had a cold beer in a hot shower?
No.
It's quite a sensation.
Well, no, I feel bathing is an important spiritual activity.
Spiritual, yeah. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
If there is a God. But there is most certainly cleanliness. I think we can agree on that.
And so you'd like to go over to Dazzle's.
Yeah, but Dazzle, last time I suggested this, after I'd vetoed the idea of us bathing together, you were suggesting that I had to pay for it.
Well, Dazzle has a bath and Ollie doesn't, basically.
Basically, that's a lot of hot water to fill that bath. 50p.
You see, the thing is, it's sort of worth it. Maybe we should all go to a Turkish bath, by the way. A Tin Trains trip.
I'd be a bit scared to go to most of the saunas or so-called baths in London.
Oh, no. I found a very respectable one, truly.
Really?
Is it as good as the new experience massage.org?
Right. Now, I don't know what that is, but I suspect it's not as reputable.
It's on Evershot Street. All I need to say.
Could we invite some listeners to our bathing session?
Yeah, why not? If anyone is listening and would like a communal bath, email in. Email in at studio@rarefm.co.uk.
Or rare plus your message to 60300. Or leave a message on the Rare FM website, rarefm.co.uk.
And all this talk of bathing leads me on to my next track.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about it for no reason whatsoever.
And there have been some questions about who Flanders and Swan are. Who are the artists to the next track? You'll probably know the Hippopotamus song.
No.
No?
Sing it.
No.
Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for soothing, cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there we shall wallow in glorious mud.
No, I don't know.
Never heard it.
Really?
No, but
thank you so much for allowing me to do that.
This one's like completely different.
Yes, this is fun. Armstrong and Miller, the comedy duo, do a rip-off of them. The bearded chap in the wheelchair.
Yeah, piano. I see.
But they're actually very quite funny in their own right. But this is the bath song, and it will, I think, make us all feel a bit more relaxed.
All right then.
It's called In the Bath. I find a much simple pleasure when I've had a tiring day in the bath, where the noise of gentle sponging seems to blend with my top A. In the bath, to the skirl of pipes vibrating in the boiler room below, I sing a potpourri of all the songs I used to know, and the water thunders in and gurgles down the overflow. In the bath, in the bath.
Lucy.
Then the loathing for my fellows rises steaming from my brain. In the bath, in the bath, in the bath. And condenseth to the milk of human kindness once again. In the bath, in the bath. Oh, the tingling of a scrubbing brush, the flannel soft caress. To wield a lordly loofah is a joy I can't express. How truly is it spoken, one is next to godliness. In the bath, in the bath. Then there comes that dreadful moment when the water's running cold. In the bath, in the bath. When the soap is lost forever, and you're feeling tired and old. In the bath, in the bath. It's time to pull the plug out, time to mop the bathroom floor. The towel is in the cupboard, and the cupboard is next door. It started running hot,
Let's have another hour or more in the bath, in the bath. I can see the one salvation of the poor old human race in the bath, in the bath. Let the nations of the world all meet together face to face in the bath, in the bath. With Furfurt and Kenyatta and all those other chaps, Nkrumah,
Nabarro,
then we'll have some peace perhaps, provided swallowed farmers they get the end without the taps in the bath, in the bath.
The magnificent Flanders and Swan.
You picked a couple of novelty tracks so far.
They're not novelty tracks. They're tracks in their own right. Well,
they're kind of novelty. The B-side. You picked the B-side last time. The B-side is Welcome and Wise.
That was a little...
Comedy duos doing songs. That's novelty.
But they are musicians. Whereas Morecambe and Wise were probably comedians first, musicians second. Flanders and Swan are a musical act.
A musical comedy act.
Yeah.
Like Flight of the Conchords. By the way, we have to do a shout out to Kevzies.
K Money.
Hello. What's his name?
Kevin.
Kevin. Hello, Kev.
What's his name? He's our biggest fan.
Well, you were calling him K Dog, and I didn't know who the hell you were talking about.
I don't even know if he's listening. He said he would. anyway, time for a gig review.
Oh, we need. Oh, I feel we need a jingle for Rob's gig review.
Do you want to? Do you want to riff one?
Rob's gig review for you.
Is that it?
Gig.
That's a work in progress, or that's it?
I'll tell you what. While you do the review, I'll try and think of one to close.
Okay. Basically, on Tuesday night, I went to the Royal Festival Hall to see Spiritualized perform their seminal 1997 album, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space, which is incredible. And they had about 30 performers on stage, singers, a brass section, a choir... And basically, they really brought it to life and beyond. I absolutely adored it. The Royal Festival Hall has an incredible sound system, and it's seated, which was actually really nice for this occasion. And it really was quite a spectacle. And I've written a full review, much better worded than this one, on the 130bpm.com, which is where I do all my writing, because I never write on the Tin Trains blog, which is tintrainsblog.com. But all I can write about is music, so I put it on 130bpm.com instead. And I'm really just riffing now because I'm waiting for the other two to come back in because they've been working on a gig review. What else should I say about Spiritualized? They're doing it again. The Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space gigs. They're doing it again at the Barbican in December, the day of or the day after the album gets reissued. And if you can get a ticket for that, you definitely should because it's way up there in the best things I've ever seen. And that's the gig review of Spiritualized.
Rob's gig review.
Very nice. I can't believe you guys made that in 10 seconds.
Good.
It's brilliant. And now to play a song from Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space. This is Cool Waves.
Cool waves wash over me.
Spiritualized Cool Waves, and as you can see, the choir and the strings having...
Or as you can hear, perhaps.
As you can hear, this choir and the strings and even a little bit of something else in there. I mean, on the stage, it's just absolutely magnificent. And once again, my full review with some great pictures that I didn't take, but some other pictures that someone took, are on 130bpm.com, so check it out.
Perhaps this is a good time to also call out our new blog.
I did that while you were out there. But tintrainsblog.com if you want.
Yeah, awesome blog.
Okay, this is Tin Trains, where stuff happens. And thank you to Tom Allen for that.
Yeah,
that was Cool Waves. You know where you find Cool Waves?
Wait, don't tell me.
California?
California, it sounds like chewing gum.
No, I was thinking of like in Cool Waves in a tropical destination.
Oh, like Bali. Great surfing in Bali. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Do you surf?
No.
Surfing is hard. Have you ever surfed?
I bodyboarded and I kept my glasses on and then I lost them.
Your glasses on while bodyboarding?
It seemed a good idea at the time.
How can that seem like a good idea?
I don't know. I think it's safe to say I wasn't thinking.
Bodyboarding is awesome, though. But surfing is cooler. Super hard.
I've tried surfing and I managed to stand up, but like for about 5 seconds.
What's that film starring Keanu Reeves?
Point Break.
That was on television the other day. It's really bad. Point Break is impossibly bad.
Really?
And it's I'm trying to communicate it.
Does Keanu Reeves surf in it?
Yeah, it's all about him. Like,
it's like a surfing.
Is it actually him surfing, or is it a stuntman?
I don't. It looks.
He's he's like an extreme cop.
He's a bit of a maverick, you know.
Yeah.
Bit of a maverick.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tropical Destination leads us into your next song.
It does. Wow, that was brilliant. Wow, amazing. This is Tropicalia by Beck.
Oh, I see what you did there. Sly fox, you.
Maze where the back, singing funeral songs to the studs. The anabolic and bronze, they seem to strut. And the millennial fogs till they fall down into flame. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a power that you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Fun under an air-conditioned sun. It's burned into your eyes, leaves you plain and left behind. I see them rise and fall into the jaws of a past event love. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in fake hotels. Be a victim.
Tropicalia.
From my favourite Beck album, Mutations.
Such a tune, that I love it.
Tune.
Okay. We like to get kinky on Tin Trains, don't we?
We do.
I mean, Ollie even just bent me over in that song and...
No, I think it was the other way around, actually.
There's a bit of both, really.
Even if it's just down to the thoughts that DeSal and Ollie share as they look gaze at each other over the microphone, I can see the kinkiness in their eyes.
I'm wearing boots today. Not thigh-high boots. That would be
not proper kinky boots.
Proper kinky boots.
Funny you should say kinky boots, though.
It's strange, because that leads neatly into my next track.
Oh, wait a minute.
So let's just throw embarrassment, any embarrassment that we had about...
Had.
let's just throw any embarrassment that we had out the window. And get a bit kinky with Patrick McNee and Honor Blackman, two people who I would even now
Honor
gladly
Blackman, I would gladly
get kinky with
penetrate.
Oh no, you didn't.
Everybody's going for those kinky boots, kinky boots.
Kinky boots, it's a manly kind of fashion that you borrowed from the Brutes.
Borrowed from the Brutes. Kinky boots, fashion magazines say wear 'em.
Rush to obey like the women in a harem.
Full length, half length,
fully fashioned calf length.
Brown boots, black boots,
patent leather jack boots.
Low boots, high boots,
lovely lanky thigh boots.
We all dig those boots. Everybody's crazy for those kinky boots, kinky boots, kinky boots.
And whether you're in evening dress or bathing suit,
you wear boots, boots, a kinky boots. There are 20 million women wearing kinky boots, kinky boots.
Puss in boots, footwear manufacturers are gathering the fruits.
Gathering the fruits, kinky boots, advertising men say try 'em.
And you all run amok like a flock of sheep to buy 'em.
Sweet girls, street girls,
frumpy little beat girls,
square girls, cool girls,
sexy little school girls,
maiden aunties,
naked debutantes.
They all dig those boots. Everybody's rushing for those Russian boots.
Russian boots.
Kinky boots.
Cover up the slender little tender boots.
With kinky, slinky.
Leather is so kinky.
Come and get those kinky boots. Boots. Kinky boots.
Kinky Boots, Patrick McNee, and Honor Blackman, who of course were famous in the Avengers as Honor John Blackman. Steed and Kathy Gale. They seem to have faded from public consciousness now. I tried to raise them in a tutorial.
Who? The Avengers?
Yeah, it was an appropriate reference.
Is it the same Avengers as Marvel Avengers?
Oh,
or different?
Robert, no. No.
No? What are these Avengers?
Oh, right. I'll just give you a post history. It's the 1960s. It's slightly zany, surreal shows. Brian Clemens did a lot of the writing. You must have heard of Mrs. Peel, surely. Played by Diana Rigg?
John Peel's wife?
Oh, my God. Right, I'll do some sort of blog entry.
We'll watch it. We'll watch it together, Christ. The Avengers.
Anyway.
We should do a mandate watching
the point
Avengers.
Is, it was very tongue-in-cheek and very very stylish and very groovy. And
but they brought back, like, a version recently.
Yeah,
well,
which
recently, I say, like, mid-80s or something.
90s. And I think it's fair to say that it was a bit of a flop. But still,
it's what introduced me to
anyway, we've come to the end of the show.
Oh, not already.
Boo, hiss.
I'm afraid we have. It's been a tough show.
It's been up and down.
We've like balloons.
Yes,
you could say.
Indeed.
You could say, although I'd hesitate to.
Balloons go up and down. Kinda. You know, hot air balloons do.
Yeah.
Goes up, must come down. We were talking about balloons earlier, if you've only just tuned in, which is why
if you've only just tuned in, we're leaving.
So this is to everyone, to Liverpool fans, to people who like balloons,
to
us.
People who like Kinky Boots.
People who like Kinky Boots.
I'm not sure I do like Kinky Boots.
Whether you're going through some hardship.
Let's be honest with ourselves. I think I'm
going to dedicate this one specifically to the Liverpool fan who threw the balloon onto the pitch.
Because he's probably having a bit of a
tough
time.
That caused the Sunderland goal. Don't worry, man. We're all float on.
We'll all float on, all right, and already we'll all float on. feel all flown on.
All right.
All flown on.
Whip him!
No,
whip him!
Ow! Ow!
Oh yeah!
Ow! Ow!
This is kinky.
Whip him back! Come on!
Jesus!
Yeah, whip him back!
Whip him back, Ollie!
No,
come on!
Stop
unleash
it.
The beast!
No, ow! Ow! You bitch!
Yes.
Oh my God! Help me!
Oh, I'm hard.
Tintrainsblog.com.